Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
What would we call this? Chaos in Cairo or the sound of a new nation being born? It's been a particularly violent weekend in the Egyptian capital of Cairo, in Tahrir Square is where that sound comes from this morning. This morning, Egypt's health ministry put Sunday's death toll at 20. The BBC's Wira Davis joins us from Tahrir Square this morning. Wira, what's going on around you?
Well, we haven't quite seen the levels of violence repeated that we saw over the weekend, but there's been very heavy clashes again this morning between interior ministry, police, riot police, and protesters. And many people, of course, are utterly shocked that more than 6 months after they thought they'd seen the end of fighting here in the Egyptian capital, that they're back out on the streets again. The focus of the protesters' anger is the interior ministry building and, of course, the military, because they essentially don't want the military to remain in politics for any longer. And this has resulted in dreadful levels of violence. As you said, more than 20 people killed over the weekend, and I've seen several people injured again this morning.
We're talking with Wira Davis from our partner, the BBC, who's live in Cairo. The interior ministry is perhaps even a more powerful symbol of the repression in Egypt than Hosni Mubarak was. Explain.
Well, indeed, a lot of people who were imprisoned or tortured that happened to them at the hands of the interior ministry police. The interior ministry encompassed a lot of events, a lot of brutality across the whole country. And again, that is why it is the focus of so much anger, even though, as you, of course, intimate, even though Hosni Mubarak himself has resigned, has left center stage, many of the instruments, many of the elements of state are still there. And that is what many people are worried about, that when elections take place next week and over the next couple of months, that the military and those involved in the previous regime will still retain too much power. And that is why these old symbols of the previous regime are such focus for anger now.
Finally, Wira Davis, speaking with us live from Cairo, it appears that the military, in the lead-up to these elections next week, has really taken a hit. They were much revered right at the time that Hosni Mubarak left, but not so much anymore.
Indeed, the trigger for this violence, really, has been rumors and some evidence that the military is trying to hang on to power for much longer than they had initially expected. But as I speak to you now, people are running away from more tear gas. There's more fighting in the center of Tahrir Square as we speak. And these people simply don't want to go away. They are worried their revolution is being lost. And until the military gives a clear indication it's going to relinquish power, they will remain here in Tahrir Square.
All right, we're going to listen in to Wira Davis there in Cairo and say goodbye to you. Wira, stay safe.
Thank you, thank you.
Sounds there in Tahrir Square in Cairo as violence has really been the story all weekend long. Joining us now, Shibli Telhami, Anwar Sadat, professor for peace and development at the University of Maryland. He's also a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution. Professor Telhami, as someone who really monitors the public opinion in places like Egypt and all over the Arab world, it does appear that something is starting to turn here in Cairo. Explain.
Oh, there's no question. I was there 3 weeks ago, and it was clear that there was a broad resentment of what people suspected were military's attempt to consolidate power. And we were hearing it from not just the usual sources, which are the ultra-left, the ultra-liberals, who clearly were the spearhead of the revolution, but also from people on the center and certainly among Islamists. I'm releasing a poll this afternoon at the Brookings Institution. It's a University of Maryland poll. And it was taken in Egypt just 3 weeks ago. And it gives a clear indication how public opinion has soured on the military. In comparison to last spring, when people were polling and finding that the Egyptian public was very much trusting the military in large numbers. In fact, one poll showed more than 90%. So there's been a dramatic change, and I think there was a suspicion that maybe things were going back to where they were before. Now, that is just obviously a suspicion that has been fueled by delays and by particularly these constitutional amendments that were proposed that gave the military ultra power over military affairs. And I think it has just generated widespread resentment across the board.
What is this likely to do to the voting next week based on the polling that you've done? Would that tend to favor Islamist parties? Would it tend to favor the ultra-left? What's going to happen?
You know, the oddity of it is that the biggest opponents of the military are not the Islamists. They're actually the liberals. And the military sees the biggest opponents to be the ultra-liberals, I would say, like April 6 and other groups who joined in the revolution. They see them as, in a way, the most destabilizing. And in fact, early on, the military had kind of a tacit coexistence with the Muslim Brotherhood particularly. They gave them space to operate. The military was reluctant to the Muslim Brotherhood was reluctant to criticize the military, and that relationship has soured in the last few months because the Muslim Brotherhood was getting the idea that somehow the military was trying to entrench its power at their expense. Early on, they thought that if they were given the space, the numbers would favor them. Now, in the public opinion poll that we do, remember, these are not election numbers. These
right.
are trends in public opinion. We ask a question about what kind of party people want to vote for, and we have about one-third who say they're likely to vote for, quote, an Islamic party. Now, when I say, you know, remember, these are trends of public opinion and attitudes, recall that, you know, likely voters is a big issue, even
right.
here in America, everywhere else. We don't really know who the likely voters are in Egypt. We have no idea. This is just too complex. It's a new experiment. We don't really know. Also, people, particularly locally in rural areas, they vote based on clan and families and personalities. So it's very hard to know how they will actually behave when they vote. But in terms of attitude, Islamic Party seems to have the heart of about a third of Egyptians.
And in terms of behavior and attitude, it certainly was remarkable how quickly the demonstration went from being something small around the Interior Ministry building there off Tahrir Square to being something involving thousands of people, and that demonstration still going on today. Shibli Telhami, thanks so much for being with us.
My pleasure.
Professor Shibli Telhami is the Anwar Sadat Professor for Peace and Development at the University of Maryland. He's also a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution.